Valley on a routine expedition at the greatest earthquake ever known. High rapids struck their tiny rapids. Plunging down thousands of feet below to the land of the lost. To the land of the lost. Roar!
Run, Holly, run!
The best is the end. It's the closing theme song. And so many people have done it, like Tenacious D, Jack Black, his band have done it. In the movie Bubble Boy, Jake Gyllenhaal rocks it out and stuff like that. But here we go. When I look all around, I can't believe the things I found. Now I need to find my way. I'm lost. I need to live in the land of the lost. Living in the land of the lost. Sid and Marty Krofft.
Oh, that is so freaking awesome.
That is so awesome,
guys. Thank you so much. Oh, my goodness. I don't know. I guess we're done. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. You're ready, okay, Joe? Yeah.
No. So listen, you guys, along with Polly Paley, who played Chaka, are going to be in Atlanta this year for Dragon Con. That is September 2nd through the 6th. This year, downtown Atlanta, scaled back a little bit, but still going on. Let's keep our fingers crossed. And we can't wait to meet you guys and see you in person. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate you guys coming on with us. It's so cool.
Hey, we have a Sleestak joining us too.
Oh, you do?
Yes. Well, he's not an original Sleestak. He was attached much later. You know, they were eggs, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And he works for Scale, by the way. Anyway, so. Well, you said they were going to scale it back.
I'm not clever enough to do puns.
You know, we love Dragon Con. I mean, it's truly the best convention. I mean, obviously things are going to be different this year. And, you know, Kathy and I are here at the Star Trek convention right now in Vegas. And we're the only show that they allow, other than people that have been to Star Trek, to come to this convention, because our show was written by the Star Trek writers, David Gerald, head writer, Trouble with Tribbles. Walter Koenig created Enoch, the talking Sleestak. Remember, Walter was the original Chekhov.
Uh-huh.
C.C. Fontana, Larry Niven, Spinrad, all these people. And then Mike Westmore, who did many of the monsters and makeups for Star Trek, created the Sleestak and Chaka and all of our monsters. So we're kind of like the little brother, I guess, of Star Trek. And they let us in, you know.
That was going to be one of my questions, that the subject material and the show is so cool. And from a science fiction fantasy point of view, the show was just blew my mind away as a kid. But it's one of those things that something that blew my mind away as a kid continues to do so, because it's such good writing and the mythology behind the series and the universe that was created. It's deep. I mean, you know, it's when you're 5 years old watching it, it's people being chased by dinosaurs, and there's cute ones and there's mean ones. But as you're an adult, I mean, I still look back going, man, that was some fantastic world building. And I just, I don't really have a question, do I? But no.
We recently did a panel with David, and it was really interesting for us to hear some of the stories from the behind the scenes from his perspective. Like, people always ask us, you know, stuff that happened behind the scenes for us, and we know some really funny good stories to share. But his ones of like how they were able to squeeze certain amounts of episodes and shots of the dinosaurs into each episode and on their budget and just all of this stuff that I had never even heard before. But you know, plus I was a kid at the time, so I wasn't really paying attention to that. I was, you know, playing with Phil on the set and hanging out with Wesley and the dad and stuff, but I didn't like.
You were licking my nose on the set on the blue screen, sitting there waiting for us to run from a dinosaur on the blue screen, and she'd go, you know, she was this tall, because by the third season she was this tall.
Yeah.
But she would go over there, she'd go, lick my nose. I go, you know, because
we would stare at each other like this. He'd come and he'd stare at me like that, and then I'd go, yes! And I hit him.
Now, remember,
that was quick. I got him.
She's kind of like a viper. It's like one of those spinning reptiles.
Thing, like a lizard.
But Kathy was, you were how old? You were 10?
12.
12. She was 12 and I was 20 because I was playing 16, but I was doing Days of Our Lives. And I was as Mike Horton, but I was actually 20 years old. So, I mean, we weren't, you know, I mean, we weren't on the same level, mature level. I mean, that's, she was more mature than I was. And so.
But he liked to play, though. He was still young enough that Phil and I could get him to play with us.
Yes,
right.
But the thing about David Gerald, about the scripts, is that the sci-fi is so good.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about time doorways and matrices and doppelgangers coming in and door mist and all the concepts that David helped create. And they never talked down to kids. They never said, okay, here's what a time doorway is. They just said, yes. Oh, it's a time doorway. Here it is. And you had, the kids had to learn it or use their imaginations or whatever. And so I think the reason it holds up and we have such a fan base, I mean, a new fan base included with everybody who used to watch it originally, but through the years, because it's still on the TV, is that we have, it's because the sci-fi holds up. I know the effects from the 70s, you know, they're not CGI either, but it's incredible when you watch these scripts and you see our mother who passed away that's in the mist, and we realize it's not our mother. It's actually a sleaze stack trying to entice us so it can kill us. I mean, this was a Saturday morning kids show.
And, right.
But the other thing I find that's equally as important and also holds up is the family chemistry. Yeah. We really, and the reason being is because it was the truth. We, and to this day, I am in the hotel room with Wesley for the rest of this week. And we do this every year because we're like brother and sister.
And we're cheap. And
Spencer Milligan, who played your dad, I was
like a dad.
Yeah.
I was a single child. I was just had my mom and my siblings. And Spencer just stepped in and filled that role. It was amazing.
Spencer will call. I mean, we're all, Phil's like a brother, and we all talk. And Spencer will call me and go, hey, listen, this is your papa speaking. You know, and I'll go, can you hear me? I mean, we have this incredible love for each other. And I think that's one of the reasons it holds up. And we had such a good time. And I've always said that The Cross didn't just cast my TV family. They actually cast my real life family.
That's incredible. That's incredible.
Are you tearing up yet?
It really is, honest to God. That's why it plays so real, because it was. You know?
Right.
And to this day, you know, we're heading into 50 years.
And still hanging out with each other. Like you said, you're at the Star Trek convention. Did you do one at all last year, or is this, or are you just getting back into it this year?
Like we did one about 10 days ago, and this one coming up. And we had not done a show or seen each other in about a year and a half.
I mean, just like everybody else, you know,
right?
All of us hunkered down.
The last time I saw him, we were actually in Puerto Vallarta together.
I lived half the year in Mexico, so I spent half a year there and half a year here. And Kathy, for her birthday, came, and we had the most wonderful time. I'm telling you, we were laughing and giggling, and all my friends in Puerto Vallarta treated her like this princess royale. I mean, they threw parties for her. They, you know, we had a costume ball. I mean, it was amazing.
But I'll tell you something that's weird is there's certain things in life that I just had never done with Wesley before. And one of them is be in the ocean. And to be in the ocean, because I used to surf, and I lived in Mexico for a while myself. But to actually look over in the water and see him just made me laugh so hard. I thought, this is so weird. It's like one time we went to a movie, and that was the first time we'd ever sat in a theater together. You know what I mean? We do like shows and we do, you know, other things, but just those little moments, it's just funny, you know?
Yeah.
Jeff, it's nice to see you.
Yeah, it's good to see you.
I
think PopCon in Milwaukee was the last time I saw both of you together.
And that was, wasn't that incredible?
Spencer was there.
First only time Spencer Milligan, who played our dad, did a show. So we're thinking we may be able to get him to do another show. So there's things in the works, but we'll see what happens. But no, it was so nice of you to come down and be there and support us, and you know, and thank you for inviting us on the
show.
They're
going to sleep again.
Like, I think
he went all the way up there specifically to meet you guys, and that's, I think, is really awesome.
I felt like it was going to be a once in a lifetime thing to be able to meet Spencer.
And it might. I mean, yes, Spencer. I mean, for everybody out there, Spencer lives this wonderful life on a beautiful estate in
Milwaukee.
Oh, it's outside Milwaukee, yeah. Milwaukee. But a gorgeous home and land, and he has no need to run around the country. And he's in his 80s.
Jeff and I have known each other for about 42 years now. Since grade, I think, is, and maybe even before that, but really started becoming friends in fourth grade. And we would talk about the show, and we would, I remember in high school, we used to think about writing. Oh, look at that. Yeah, that's an OG. That's original.
This is my kindergarten lunchbox.
I've had.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Did we sign that?
Yeah, look.
Yeah, I've signed it.
Okay, cool.
Oh, my God.
I had emergency. I can't get Randolph Mantooth anywhere. Was that his name, Randolph Mantooth?
Yeah, exactly.
I felt kind of bad getting Spencer to sign it because I know it was things like this lunchbox that were part of the reason that he decided to leave the show in season three.
Well, the truth is you probably paid him more for the signature than he made on the selling. But I just wanted to let you know that one of the sleeves deck, the original, it was Bill Laimbeer of the Detroit Pistons, who Kathy and I surprised he was coaching the Aces. But another sleeve deck was William Boyd, Bill Boyd. And Bill was a basketball player at UCLA and came out with
he was at the Milwaukee.
He was at the Milwaukee. Anyway, we're in Las Vegas. He's here. He's a very successful businessman. He's taken us to Ruth Chris a couple of nights.
Nice.
And I are doing, we've been hired by a club to appear. One of those Vegas kind of things. Hey, we're here, And
I'm an animal eater and he's a vegetarian. Okay.
So Ruth Chris, we're going to Ruth Chris.
I had to like choke him in.
Anyway, but the point is that our family life, the cast is still, even this lease deck now are friends of ours. They don't kill us. They don't try to eat us.
Yeah, I was going to say, be careful. There's like maybe some mist and coming out of the kitchen of the Ruth Chris, and it turns out they're just trying to kill you.
So you guys were kids together, huh?
Yeah. And I do remember in high school, we so badly wanted an updated show that we started writing like fan fiction. And this you had to write with your hand because we didn't have computers and stuff like that. So we were passing it around back and forth. But then we were kind of like budding humorists, I guess you'd say. So Batman showed up in one episode. And of course, it never got produced. But Land of the Lost is just one of those shows that, it is right in the wheelhouse of us coming of age and watching TV, plopping down in that Saturday morning when you had serious things like Big John, Little John, and these things that were live action that, that all went away by the end of by the early 80s, that was all gone. And it was all really commercialized. You want to buy the Smurfs, you want to buy this and this and this. But Land of the Lost had that original feel. And we have to thank Sid and Marty Krofft for that. For allowing things like that to be created and put forward for kids of our generation, for sure.
I'm just glad that the four of us are all still alive. Actually be a moment for us. And I'll tell you why. I always tell people that come up to the table that I know what it feels like to be on either side. Like I'm a fan of things, I know how exciting it is, but I tell them and I say it. And then I think, well, I'm not saying this in an egoic way, but you guys are lucky that you get to come and meet us because I don't mean it like the way that
I know
that yes, I do.
We're bestowing upon you our greatness.
And I'll tell you why I mean that is because, I liked David Cassidy when I was a teenager, but all I had was a poster of him on my wall. We couldn't just meet him.
Right.
You couldn't just pay to go to a show and go talk to him and meet him.
Yeah, when I was a kid, Al Jolson, I really wanted to meet him. And
I felt that way about Annie Oakley, but she never showed up.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I yelled, Annie, she missed her shot. Yeah, I ruined her career.
Yeah, and she was mad at me. She wouldn't talk to me anymore. Well, I worked in morning radio for a number of years, so in Atlanta. So whenever Dragon Con would come through, I was able to get some of the people, like, a couple people from Happy Days. And I thought it was cool. I got to meet Anson Williams and Don Most and, Rip Taylor. I got to meet Rip Taylor. He was on Sigmund and the Sea Monsters. And getting to meet or talk to people who really had an effect on me and Jeff when we were kids, it's great because, something that you guys are a part of lasts forever. And that is an amazing thing. I don't care where you are in Hollywood or what movies you're, if you made an impact on people as kids that they still care about, that is incredible. And, you know, we're lucky to be able to speak to you over this weird contraption that we didn't have when
all of us are, because we get to hear, like, you know, I said the you know, behind the scenes, but you guys is behind the scenes, that you knew each other in fourth grade. That was your kindergarten lunchbox. Yep. And then, remember the smell that they had? The lunchboxes, they always smelled everybody's lunchbox.
It smelled horrible.
You could mix bologna and one, peanut butter in the other, but you opened it up and they all smelled the same.
Yeah. Milk in the thermos?
Yeah, yeah.
The milk would be hot by lunchtime.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, in a few minutes, we're going to do a show with Sid Croft live. We're about to do another podcast. And, you know, Sid's 92, and Sid will call me. And I wouldn't say we talk. I listen for an hour. And you know, for all of us, as Kathy said, to be still, first of all, to be here. I'm turning very old in a week. I'm turning a big zero number. And
50.
Huh?
50.
Yeah, right. Oh. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe my tie.
Okay.
But for all of us to still be such friends, and, you know, and to know now, you know, to still be part of each other's lives in a very positive way. Because we know a lot of actors on shows that don't have the same relationships that we have after the show's over. Some won't speak with each other, some won't sit next to each other. You know, you guys probably know this more than we do. But we just feel very lucky. And we have, there's stories about fans that come up to our table. And Kathy, tell them about the one guy.
Oh, it was really beautiful. Yeah. I mean, we do. We get some of the, like I said, with you guys, I love hearing your charming little, like, boyhood little stories. They're fabulous. But this one couple came up to our table, and they had somebody that was, like, guiding them, that brought them, actually, to our table. And they were a blind couple. They met at a school for the blind when they were about 12 or something. And they had lost their sight during the course of Land of the Lost.
Mm.
And that was the thing they bonded on, was the show Land of the Lost. And they became a couple. And when they met me, they literally wanted to, like, put their hands on me and touch me and feel like how I had changed and everything. And the woman said, you know, one of her comments was, you know, your hair, you know, is so long, and you got so tall. And then the man grabbed the sleeve stack and he started crying. Because I bring a big sleeve stack head to the show. And he just was rubbing his hands all down it and feeling his memory. It was really, I was like, just jawed, like jaw was just dropped. And I was bawling right along with him, because it was so beautiful to watch somebody with their hands create a memory, you know. Yeah. And really very, very interesting stuff we see, you know.
And this, it's a lot of them. We've had people, we had one guy come up to us and said, I thought you guys spoke Farsi. What? He said, yeah, my brother and I lived in Iraq. And you were
twins.
Dubbed, they were twins. And it was, we were dubbed into Farsi. It was in Iraq back in the day. And he said, because of Land of the Lost, we became scientists. And they were two heads of the Jet Propulsion Lab, JPL, in Pasadena. And he goes to Kathy, hey, I want to take you guys on a private tour of JPL. We go, yeah. But we went to JPL. We they took us in one room. It was, everything was secure. And we went through the final room, which is the hardest room to get stoked. If you lick my nose, I will. And,
lick his nose.
And we go in this, imagine guys, imagine this. We go in this room. It's all this security to get through is impossible. It's a huge room with computers, old computers, banks of computers. And one guy.
In the corner.
In the corner, way in the back. And he's sitting there with the joystick and stuff. And they introduced to him. He's the guy. He was driving the rover on Mars with the joystick.
Wow.
He's the guy that has driven every Mars rover since it landed. He actually has a driver's license that has a Mars driver's license. And he said to us, so Kathy and I are there. We introduced him. He's a fan of Land of the Lost. He goes,
meantime, these guys were like googly-eyed over getting to meet us. And we're like astonished by
driving a car on Mars.
But he said to us, listen, he said, you want to drive the rover? We go, yeah, we want to drive the rover. He gave us the joystick. Now, and we got to play with the joystick and watch on the computer what happened. Now, it doesn't actually move the rover on Mars, because what they do, yeah, they program, they spend all the day, they program with making all the moves with the joysticks, and then they, once they know it's what they want, they send it to Mars, which takes, I think, 6 to 8 hours for it to go, and then it moves. So we weren't actually moving the rover, and I'm sure he erased everything we did. But the fact that we got to, you know, those kind of experiences, I mean, come on, they're like, you just can't make this stuff up. It's like,
oh, and they're extremely rare. I mean, who else gets to do that? Nobody.
Listen, and when people at JPL heard that we had been with them, they go, we've never been there. How'd you get here? It was just amazing things. People come, we had one guy come to our table, he was actually crying, and he said, between the second and third season, we lost Spencer Milligan, he left, and we had our Uncle Jack come. He said, during that time, my mom and dad were getting a divorce. He said, and I didn't know how I was going to make it. He said, I was devastated, a little kid, and my dad was leaving, and I didn't think I could make it. He said, but I saw in Land of the Lost that you lost your father, because we saw that the family survived with the uncle coming in, that it didn't fall apart because you'd lost your dad. He said, it gave me the courage and the strength to know that my family wouldn't fall apart. And he was in his 50s, obviously, when he came to our table, and he was sobbing. And he just said, I just want to thank you guys for, because we never know as performers, I mean, and as radio people on the radio, anything you say, you know, as people are broadcasting,
yeah,
how things resonate. I mean, they leave, and we don't think about it. And years later, to have it reflected back to us is an extraordinary, it's kind of fabulous.
And on a much, much, much reduced scale, making people laugh, or I've had people tell me that thing you said made me laugh. And, you know, my initial reaction is I said something that made you happy. But I mean, it's weird to me, but it does make me very happy now. I used to have a weird reaction to it. But when someone tells you that, they're thanking you for making something in their life a little brighter.
What was your reaction for it, Tim? I mean, what was your weird reaction?
Well, my reaction is I don't deserve this. You know, I'm just a guy who does something that I like to do without thinking, oh my gosh, I actually made somebody feel better. And once I accepted that and I made somebody feel better and made somebody laugh, I embrace it now. It's a little, I mean, like, oh, good. Well, I'm happy I could do that for you. But initially, I'm like, I'm unworthy of that. And
it says about you. I mean, listen, I think all of us, you know, we're shy. A lot of us are really shy. We were in the entertainment business, some of us, to overcome things, you know, and because I think we're attracted to a business where we're missing something, you know. Mm-hmm. Listen, my dad left when I was 2 years old and never came back. I needed attention. So I'd be an actor.
Like the misfit toys.
The misfit, exactly. Right. But for you, I mean, to be kind of like unworthy and suddenly you become this icon on the radio and to have that, it's, what an extraordinary thing, you know.
Which, yeah, I love it. I love it. Book. What's that? What?
Oh, yeah, it's a commercial?
For sure, plug your book.
Please.
My book, because my book, Run Holly Run, which
she stole my line. Yeah. Run Holly, that's my
but
entire
it
performance.
Also is
Run.
A double entendre on my life and everything.
Right, right.
No, the reason I wrote the book was to, like, people used to say to me all the time, you know, it must be easy being a celebrity, you know, life must be easy for you. And it was like, no. My life is just as nutty as everybody else's. You know, I have all the same hangups and I cry at the same things. I've had all the same rejection. And it was really important to me to share some of my deepest, like, character flaws to the world so that everybody knows that we're more like one than we are, you know.
Yeah.
Something out of reach. No.
Yeah, but no, her life, she read the book. Oh, her life isn't like everybody else's.
No,
it is so over the top, bizarre. She totally tell me stories before she wrote the book of what was going on. I mean, breaking horses in the surf in Mexico, being abandoned.
That's the fun stuff.
Yeah, but being abandoned in Mexico and tied up and, you know.
That's the crazy.
It's a book you won't put down. I mean, I'm for real. And was that a good commercial? Did I do that? Do I get a piece of this?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, to tell people where they can get
The reason I got top billing, Kathy and I in the show, after a while, we tried to, every scene when we exit, if you watch the show, I have just one final look back.
Right? Yeah, and I would go, he'd push me in the bushes and then turn around to the camera and say, or he would do that one, or we get the last line in, like, you know, run, Holly, run. I said, I'm going as fast as I can, quicker, you know. And he always had to have that last one in there.
So when Kathy's book came out, they asked me to do it.
You'd hear out of the bushes. Was that quick enough?
So Kathy asked me to write a review, a blurb, right? And I did. And they put it, when the cover came out with Run, Holly, Run, written by Kathy Coleman, where at the very top, it's my quote. So even to this day, even her own book, I get talked about.
Appreciate it.
When you guys were younger and working on the show, I guess maybe it hadn't opened yet, but did you ever get to go to the Croft amusement park that was on top of the Omni in Atlanta?
No, but I did stumble upon something at the wharf in San Francisco, and it was like a flat appearance, but then you go through and you get on the little thing
and you walk down,
and there's a whole big thing behind there. It was like that. It was a ride, and it was right off the sidewalk. So, you know, it was just a flat surface on the front. I went there, and it was I saw my face on the sidewalk on one of those easel type signs, advertising signs.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, this is so bizarre. And it turned out to be the ride.
So it was a ride that they had.
No, on the Omni.
It had been in Atlanta, and then it was, now it's
where. So obviously they had moved it or sold it, and it moved on to something else. Yeah, because it fell apart.
Well, do you think, go ahead, Jeff.
I was just going to say, the only thing that survived is that huge escalator that's in the CNN center now.
Exactly. But I was mad.
An escalator from the Crofts Park is in the CNN.
Well, it was in the CNN.
I didn't know that.
Where the Croft in Atlanta, where the theme park was, is now the CNN building.
Oh, I know.
CNN building, yep.
Right. That's but I was so mad they didn't invite me to come. I mean, I was like, really? I mean, Land of the Lost, we were your number one show. We were the longest running show on the Crofts. And I was going, But now,
Meanwhile, Jim Neighbors is up there. Come on in. Let's go. Far out space nuts. No, they weren't the far out space nuts, were they? The one that
happened, weren't they? He and Ruth Fuzzy were far out space nuts.
Yeah, they were.
What was the one that was
Lost Saucer?
Lost Saucer. Far out space nuts was Gilligan's Island in space, but they couldn't get the skipper, so they had that other guy.
Wow. What was it called? The Lost Saucer?
Lost Saucer. Ruth Fuzzy and Jim Neighbors.
When we were filming Land of the Lost, when they were getting the park ready. And I talked to Sid recently, and he said that he was so busy with the park that he didn't, not only spend a lot of time on the sets, but he wasn't there very much. Mm-hmm. I mean, Marty was on our set more than Sid. And it's because Sid was working on the human pinball machine or the crystal carousel and things like that. So.
Well, we know that you guys are going to be going on a podcast with those guys, or it's a live stream. I'm sorry. I don't remember.
Yeah, Instagram Live.
Instagram Live. There you go.
Sid has done it. Thing every Sunday at 6 Eastern time, 3 Pacific time, he does an hour show with and talks about his life as a puppeteer and all the people he's worked with and all the shows and the creative ideas. And I've been a guest twice, which has been just so much fun. So Kathy and I are together, and she's not the most technically challenging.
I think you said that.
I said she's not the most technically accurate person.
Brilliant.
Yeah. And so when he heard that we were going to be together, he goes, oh, you got to be on my show.
Yeah. I found this. I can edit him right out of the shot.
Zoom.
And then we can really talk. Then I can, like,
oh, fine. Well, then go ahead. Go right in. No, it's all you. It's all you.
I know we're still a couple weeks away, but has there been any talk of you guys being in the Dragon Con parade, or are you guys doing any panels?
We are scheduled for a panel.
Like a parade. You know what? We're so nutty. We'll start right after we get off of here trying to design a float for ourselves.
Here's your float. Get a Ford Pinto. Find somebody who has one. Paint it gray, and then you can ride on top of it like it's lumpy.
Dopey.
Yeah.
Dopey.
Jeff, we do have a panel every day we're scheduled. And our sleep stack will be joining the panel. And he's hysterical when he talks during this. Anyway, it's funny.
And I do have half of a dopey.
Why did I say love?
No, you just did.
I
wish you had it here.
I don't have it here yet. But I have the, like, Dopey and Grumpy, both for close-ups, had, like, a hand puppet. And so I had one made. Remember the ones that were, that Troy had in
Milwaukee.
Yeah. I had the same guy make me one, so now I have one.
Yep.
That's really awesome. And are you bringing the raft? Are you doing photos or?
We don't know yet.
Yeah.
You know, normally we bring a yellow raft. We put yellow life jackets on people. And we all get in the raft together with the yellow oars, and we scream like we're going over the waterfall for pictures. And they're the best photos. The raft is just sitting on the floor, big yellow raft. But because of COVID and restrictions and closeness and touching, for instance, here at the Star Trek convention, they just announced that mask only, and you're not allowed in a no-touching policy. So it just made it impossible.
Right.
Did you get one of the photos at Dragon Con or at in Milwaukee?
I did.
Those were fabulous.
Those were amazing.
With the wave and you had the Pakuni and the Slee Stacks and
yeah,
that was a great
photo. And we're a bunch of us are just about to do Galaxy Con.
Is that?
It's virtual online.
Oh, okay.
It's like Wizard World. We did one for Wizard World, but on that one we have David Gerald joining us, our head writer. Bill Boyd joins one of the Slee Stack, Ta and Sa, Joe Giamalva, and Sharon Baird, who played Ta and Sa, Chaka's mom and dad, Bill Paley, Chaka, Kathy, and myself. And so all of us are going to be on there for a free, it'll be a free virtual. You know, you can certainly buy things afterwards, but it's good. You just listen in for free. And that should be a lot of fun. That's coming up September, I think, the 19th.
If there had been a fifth or a fourth and fifth season, where do you think the show would have gone? Was there any talk of that? Or
David has the most amazing. Well, of course, in being the creator, he would be the only one who could pick up where it left off the proper way. And his is so brilliant. As a matter of fact, like 3 years ago, he pulled us up on stage here at Star Trek and said, "I wanted you guys to hear it when I tell the rest of the audience." And his panels will bring in like 3,000 people.
Yeah,
these ballrooms will hold that big of a crowd here. And the coolest thing, we had a sibling, we had a little brother that was too young to come on the rafting trip. And you know, that can happen in a family, you know, maybe next year you'll go, you know, Brian, but not this year, you're not big enough or whatever. But anyway, he's now like in his 40s and he finds the same pathway that we took on the raft. And does it and winds up in landlocked looking for his daughters.
Well, this is a novel. This is the novel that David's writing. In fact, he's about to finish it. And it takes place 40 years later in actual time. This has been 40 years since we've done the show. And he does. He has two little girls that are now teenagers or young. And he takes them on the journey to find us. And he said that, and Kathy has evolved into a spirit of land of lost. At one point, he said, "I'm a crazy man. I live in a cave, and I've lost my mind." Haley is now head of the Pakuni tribe, but he's still working on it and deciding where it's going to go. But we were with him a couple weekends ago in Connecticut, and he said, "You know what? I'm going to finish this thing now." And it's been a work. He said it's about three quarters finished. But,
oh man, I can't wait to read that.
And we were sitting next to him. His table was next to ours. All, and I'm thinking, God, I hope we're vibing him, you know, because he was on his computer the whole time he was there.
And we were sucking up to him, saying, "Oh, David, can we get you some water? Can we get you some?" Yeah. I said, "You know, because we would like to be cast in the."
Oh, so I'm sorry. I thought it was a book. So it's going to be
it is a book.
Okay.
But Marty, I just did a show. I actually did a show with Susan Anton. Has a new show called Idle Chat, and Marty and I were guests with Johnny Whitaker and Butch Patrick the other day. And Marty said that he wants to do a new movie based on the original, not the Will Ferrell debacle, but exactly. So, but he wants to
owe it to our fans.
Yeah.
So a lot of your fans, including myself, went to that movie and were immediately like, "Oh, this isn't Land of the Lost. This is a weird, funny movie, supposedly funny movie." It wasn't for me.
I would have forgiven the terribleness of the movie if they just would have left your validation scene in the cut of the movie.
I wanted to hear more about progression.
My favorite moment. I went to the premiere. Paparazzi, Brahmins, Chinese. It's everything you want for a premiere. Every celebrity in the world, it's packed and all this stuff. And click, 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 click. And I'm sitting in the theater. It's quiet. Now, in the movie, you know, Will Ferrell and Anna Friel, it's Holly and Marshall. They are workmates. They're professionals together. She's assistant to him. In our show, it's her dad, right? It's father and son. So there's Holly, father and daughter. So it's Holly and the dad, in my mind, and there's a scene. It's very quiet. Imagine everybody all across, all the press are there. It's very quiet. And there's a scene where Will Ferrell goes in for a kiss, and he kisses Anna Friel. So it's my dad kissing my sister. And I didn't mean to do this, but I go, I didn't mean to put it. Was it was a knee jerk reaction, and everybody staring at me, and I'm like, oh god!
Do you guys have eardrums still?
Yeah, that was a perfect reaction to that. Well, Jeff,
we're looking forward to seeing you in a couple weeks here at Dragon Con, and I'll try and get to all your panels. I don't know what the scene's going to be like down there, but I know they're trying to reduce the capacity of some of the rooms and doing cleanings in between. We will both be there.
Yes.
Oh, cool. So we get to meet you, huh?
Yeah, I can't wait. I've interviewed people before on the radio and on here, and I really look forward to being able, and I hope they'll let us go in. I hope everything stays on track, because I would really like to meet you in person and hopefully shake your hand. We won't tell anybody that we actually touched your hand.
I'll bring extra gloves, okay?
I'll bring a sheer piece of plastic you can stand, and we can pretend that we're in a pit. But I definitely look forward to meeting you guys and appreciate you coming on with us, and this is a big thrill for me. I know Jeff's met you in person, but I'm sure it's a thrill for him, and
we appreciate you guys having us on today. Thanks. Thank you so much.
And break a leg with Sid later.
Yep.
Oh my god, we're gonna have such
break his leg.
Yeah. Sid's actually showing a complete episode of Land of the Lost on Instagram first.
Really?
We will talk about it. So, in a few minutes, we're going to go on in half an hour. And he's going to show the episode.
Now, are they archived afterwards?
Yeah. So you can go to Sid Croft on Instagram and look for it later. And it's all archived, all the shows. And there's some great shows with Pee Wee Herman and all the people he's worked with. And in fact, we're supposed to have... he's supposedly arranging a private day with David Copperfield here in Vegas to go to his home and to his private museum, because he's a big fan. And he's going to show us his Houdini collection and Walter Winchell stuff. I mean, I'll be
Charlie McCarthy.
There you go. He's got the puppet. I mean, he has the most amazing collection of memorabilia.
See, we're the Willie Tyler Lester and Madam. You remember Madam?
Going to a party, and I went to several parties with Madam, and oh my god, my mind just
Waylon Flowers.
So we're going to. I'm walking outside. Waylon Flowers had Madam, you know, who was just fabulous, and it was on Hollywood Squares a lot. So we're heading to the same party. It's just Waylon. It's dark. It's in West Hollywood. We're walking into the party. I said, isn't it nice? You know, Waylon, you know, you don't have to bring Madam. You know, you can go as yourself. Oh, yeah. You know, it's so nice. We walk to the door together. The guys open the door for the party. They go, where's Madam? He goes, I'll get her. And Madam held court the whole night. And it was fabulous.
Well, before I let you go, I'm 50, and my wife and I had a baby in May, and it's my first. So I just got to say, I cannot wait to watch Land of the Lost with Gilbert, and when he's older, because I'm sure that when he's, you know, a bit scared. But I can't wait to pass it on, and I'm glad that that's still in the minds of so many people. And you guys are amazing. And again, we just love the fact that you came on the show with us.
Thanks, Tim. Thanks, and Jeff. Thanks for having us on. We really appreciate it.
And can't wait to meet you guys.
Hopefully, we'll see you at DragonCon soon.
See you guys.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Work it. They were horrible, weren't they? I just was the worst interview I've ever done. And I am going to have to call them. They're still
here. Hi.
Well, hi, guys. How are you? So nice to see you. Best interviewers we've ever had.
It was a blast.
Guys, take care. Thank you very much. Right. See you in a couple weeks.
Thanks a lot. See you at Dragon Con.
Thank you.